This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. I'm Tristan Taramino. We've got a special treat today. This episode features Karen Lee Potter and Cam Potter, the mother-son team who host the hilarious podcast, Sex Talk with My Mom. Karen Lee Potter hosts an internet talk show called Karen Lee Love about dating, sex, and cougars. She created the show after becoming a widow and re-entering the singles world. No topic is off limits as she shares personal anecdotes and opinions through witty vlogs and weekly live streams about her life as a cougar, which she defines as a confident, older, unique, genuine, assertive, and racy woman. She is the author of A Cougar's Guide to Getting Your Ass Back Out There, an autobiographical self-help book. She lives in Los Angeles. She's the mother of three children and holds a master's degree in social work from the University of Illinois. Cameron Potter is a Chicago-bred, LA-based comedian. He has appeared on America's Got Talent, Silicon Valley, and Modern Family. While he's not flailing in the dating world, he's overanalyzing it with his mother on his podcast, Sex Talk with My Mom. If you see him on stage in LA, please give him a high five. It will be the most physical contact he's felt in months. We recorded this show in person at the Sex Talk with My Mom studio. Karen and I both had our dogs on our laps the entire time. Let's get started. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm really excited that you're here.
We're excited to be here.
When I told one of my friends what I was doing today, it was just in conversation, they were just entirely charmed and intrigued by the idea that a mother and son not only have a podcast together, but a podcast about sex.
That is true. You know, there's not a lot of mom-son podcasts.
Right.
Well, if you're gonna do one, you should do one where
you should do one about sex.
Yes.
Just go all in.
But here's the thing. I mean, in all my years of doing this work, I think one of the most difficult things that people talk to me about as parents or as wanna be hopeful parents is no one talked to me about sex. So I want to be this quote unquote sex positive parent. But I never got any skills, so how am I going to do it, right? How am I going to do it? So not only do you talk about sex, you talk about sex in this very public way. You let people listen to you talk about sex. How did that dynamic even come about with the two of you?
How did?
Yeah.
Jeez. Well,
I will say one quick thought. We were talking about Howard Stern on our show, and he was the original, but a major shock jock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a man talking so sexually in public. This is wild in the 80s.
Right.
And now you see that a little bit with, I think it's actually skewed more for women to speak so openly about sex.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, we are kind of shock jocks just by this relationship shocking an audience.
It's very provocative.
And so I'm a comedian. So when I saw the opportunity to do that, I was like, oh, we should run in this direction, you know, because we should stir things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we didn't start out talking about sex per se. We started out more in turn, I guess it was sex in a sense of relationships.
Right. Yeah.
That's always the gateway drug. Talk about relationships.
Yeah, it has something to do with it.
Yeah, we would have private talks at night. That was like a thing we had growing up. Which,
yeah, I mean, kids, I mean, this is something parents don't realize. Kids are not going to want to talk about it when they get home from school. Like, oh, let's sit down and talk about sex after you did, you know, you did your math homework. It doesn't work that way. Kids like to talk about stuff late at night. Like, I'm talking about when everybody goes to sleep around 11 o'clock at night. That's when you're going to get the questions that, you know, more are more pertaining to sex, I would say, or relationships or intimacy or anything that's
so very, it's about context.
You know, it's just when you, what the timing has to be. Sometimes when you're wanting to go to bed and have sex, you can't because you have to stay up and talk about sex with your kids.
With your kids. Yeah.
And I saw my sister having I had an older sister. She was having these conversations with you. So why not have these conversations, you know? And so then eventually, you know, we had this open dialogue. I wasn't yet having sex that much in high school. I wasn't having sex at all in high school. But while I was in high school, we had this life-changing event that took place. My father was murdered. And did you...
You did not
drop
this
on you?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Tristan, oh my God, I thought you knew this.
Yeah.
You did not do your homework.
This is
a huge bomb dropping. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like a workplace homicide. It was not expected whatsoever. And this flipped our worlds upside down.
Because I was a very like white picket fence. I'm married for 24 years to my college sweetheart. I was 23 when I got married. We had three kids. We had two dogs. We had a cat. We had some fish. You know, it was pretty much a traditional suburban Chicago life.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, big change.
Big change.
How old were you, Cam?
17.
So his sister was 19. His brother was 11.
Yeah.
I almost feel like when kids are young and have intense trauma, kids are just very resilient. Mm-hmm. But I feel like at 17, you understand, you have complete comprehension of what happened.
Yeah.
There's no confusion. And it must have been so traumatizing.
It was extremely traumatizing. And it took, like, I'm still experiencing waves of grief that come. It doesn't happen just like all at once.
It's a
fucking,
of course.
Cascade.
Especially when it was so shocking. Talk about shock.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And when you say you understood, I still don't understand exactly what happened because it was like a stabbing. You don't really picture like...
Yeah.
This doesn't make
sense. It was
sense.
A random act.
It was a random act.
It was a random act.
It was not really that random, unfortunately. My husband had a construction company. So one day, one of his employees that he only had working there for 3 months, he was just not doing his job well enough. And so my husband called him in his office. And he said, listen, let's talk about your performance. We're going to demote you in terms of pay until you beef up a little bit in what you're performing. And the guy got very agitated and left. And then the next day, he came in the office, went into the cafeteria, pulled out a cake knife, walked into, this is at 7:30 in the morning, plenty of people in the office that saw this, walks into my husband's office, my husband's sitting in a chair, and he just starts stabbing him repeatedly. And someone had to come and pull this lunatic off of him.
But this is a random act in the sense that who the fuck does that?
Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying in terms of random act, you mean there was a motivation there that wasn't just like some crazy person just decided to stand.
But it's a motivation that doesn't make sense to the average person.
Right.
Because we get mad at people we work with all the time and we don't kill them.
You don't?
Right.
But, you know, here's the thing. His defense was, and this is a 3-year defense.
Oh, God.
Involuntary intoxication that he was taking Ambien.
This conversation,
whatever.
What the fuck? This is
know.
A sex show. Okay. What are we talking about
all
this
right,
for?
Right.
No, never mind. I talk about hard stuff on my show all the time.
All right. Well.
And I do think it's interesting that we started to talk about kind of how have you developed this relationship with your mom? How have you developed this dynamic? And you went to this major trauma that you both share.
Yes.
That's an interesting piece. It's the first thing that you went to.
Yeah.
And so that obviously had an impact on your relationship. It's relevant.
Yeah.
Super relevant because it changes your whole dynamic.
Well, we wouldn't have the show otherwise. There's no reason for a mom and son to start podcasting about sex. Like, you know, you need a serious catalyst to make that happen. And so this was the...
Yeah, it could be.
Well,
who knows?
Well, actually, the catalyst was when you started eventually dating again.
Yeah, so I started dating about 6 months. And I use the term dating loosely. I was basically having sex.
Great.
Because you need to after you have a trauma. It's the first thing you want to do is feel alive again by having sex again. So I didn't want to be with like another guy that wanted to have a long-term relationship because I still was mourning in groups. So I started going out into the dating world, having a lot of dates, looking for help. Nothing on the internet was available to me because it's all like young wing girls. Let's talk about like playing games. And I'm older. I'm in my late 40s, about your age. And anyway, long story short, I've decided, well, I can't find anything on the internet. I'm going to start my own YouTube channel about sex. I'm going to help women get their act back, you know, get their ass back out there again. I wrote a book, Cougar's Guide to Getting Your Ass Back Out There Again. And the only people watching my show were horny 18 to 35 year old guys wanting to learn about cougars. And so I said, if you can't beat them, join them. And that's my audience.
Yeah.
That's it right now.
So this was occurring while I was at college.
So, and did you go and watch the show?
At first she told me about this and I was like, this is great. You're going to help other women get back out there. Incredible.
Right.
Then there's one day I'm sitting there I'm at college looking up oral sex tips on my computer and I'm suggested a video by, it was Love Encore. And I was like, that's my mom's channel. And the video is called like a porn star's tips on oral sex, part 3. And I'm like, what the fuck happened here? My mom was supposed to make this channel for other women getting their ass back out. Now it's porn stars. She's talking to porn stars about oral sex. My friends start sending me videos. I'm like, oh, what? What's happening at home? And it's like shot in my bedroom. I could see that my bedroom has been like repurposed.
Yes. Oh my God, this is amazing.
Shock.
Yes.
Yeah. That is kind of shocking.
It was shocking. So eventually I was like, well, either I can, you know, deny that this is occurring.
Same kind of thing what I did.
Right.
Or I could kind of use this to my advantage and talk about this in my stand-up.
Right.
And so I did. I was doing stand-up comedy. I started talking about this. And then we made a video together because I was like, no one's believing that this is even real.
He was selling my books during his life.
Oh, my God.
And people were like, is that real? I'm like, I'm holding a book. It says my mother's name. You think this is a prop?
Oh, my God.
And
yeah.
And then we made this video, which eventually became Sex Talk with My Mom. This is our podcast.
Wow. And what did your other siblings think? What did your peers think? How did everyone react?
Everyone responds extremely differently.
Oh my God.
Some people are super supportive. Some of my friends, some of your friends are like, oh my God, what would your father think of this?
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck you. Who are you? You didn't even know my father.
I just had some drunk girl right on my wall.
Oh, Gary would be so disappointed if he saw that what his son was doing.
Isn't it nuts?
That's completely off base too. It's out of bounds as far as I'm concerned. It's out of bounds. It's out of bounds.
She's totally out of bounds. She's axed, defriended.
Call you done. A slutty cougar? Fine.
It's a fucking compliment.
It's exactly. Yeah. It's true. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
But don't bring that shit in.
It's fucking crazy. And so, I mean, but it's that thing where if it's triggering for them, it probably shows more about them than it does
and
to
I
you,
think
about
this
you.
Is the one of the most anxiety producing things for people.
Oh yeah.
First for parents to have talks about sexuality with their kids. That's super triggering. Parents are freaking out all the time about it. But I think even my generation and maybe your generation, because I'm kind of in the middle between you two. The idea of thinking of your parents as sexual, there's still this reaction that's like very old fashioned and like, ew, I don't want to think about that.
Yeah.
Which is still more shame. It's still more shame. You can't say, I believe everyone has a right to sexuality. I believe everyone has a birthright to pleasure. And then say, except people related to me.
Except my parents.
That's gross.
Yeah.
What?
It's crazy. I mean, how often do we meet someone and they tell us that their sex life is terrible. And you're like, oh, I feel so sad. You know, like this is a big part of life.
Yes.
It allows you to feel alive.
Yes.
Why would I want my mother deprived of this?
But meanwhile, you don't want to hear about it.
I don't. I mean, I don't need graphic details about D's.
The
boyfriend.
The boyfriend.
It's D's.
That's the alias. D's. I mean, he goes by.
D-E-E-Z.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very hip.
I don't know. He came up with this one.
Okay.
All right.
I don't need images of him like jackhammering you or something like this.
But, right.
You know, I want to know that I'm happy that you have an active sex life and that it has not completely dried up, you know?
So to speak. Yeah. Especially with my age group.
Let's talk about that.
It's time for a few words from my amazing sponsor, The Pleasure Chest, and our other advertisers who make this show possible. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Are you ready to fall in lust this September? Every fall, the Pleasure Chest focuses on their inclusive and accessible pleasure education program. Pump up your pleasure IQ with a free workshop at one of the Pleasure Chest's 5 locations in LA, New York, and Chicago. All workshops are open to adults 18 and over of all genders, sexual orientations, and relationship statuses. Follow at Pleasure Chest Stores on Instagram or check their full fall winter lineup of free workshops at pleasurechest.com/events. Plus, to celebrate their 48th year in business, they'll be featuring a few of their favorite classic toys and those that continue to inspire a long legacy of pleasure. They'll be sharing those toys and pleasure tips on their blog and Instagram all month long. Go to pleasurechest.com, use coupon code Tristan for a free massage candle, and don't forget to follow them on Instagram at Pleasure Chest Stores. Hi, everyone. It's Tristan. Are you passionate about sex education and want to build your career in the field, but you're not sure how to do it? Or maybe you've begun your journey as a sex educator and you're ready to get serious, streamline your business, and get paid. My Sex Educator Bootcamp training programs, Level 1 and 2, are now available online, and they are great for sexuality professionals of all kinds. You'll learn how to develop your vision and mission and communicate them effectively. Discover tools for branding, marketing, networking, media coverage, building your audience, and more. The number one question people ask me is, Tristan, how did you get involved in sex education and how can I? Well, today's the day to find out. Go to sexeducatorbootcamp.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I had an absolute blast recording this episode with Cam and Karen Lee Potter of the podcast Sex Talk with My Mom. Let's get back to it.
Let's talk about that. No, I went into early menopause at 41. So I'm like 100% there with you, sister. Yeah. Yes.
And my siblings, it's been a progression. You know, like my sister has a different approach to talking about sex is, you know, so publicly.
Yeah. She prefers I don't use my last name.
Well, now little, she's come around. That was when you were starting.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you were starting your show like 6 years ago, that she was like that. But I think she's come around.
And I think, and I've gotten a lot of help because my younger son and his teenage friends would help me put the videos on YouTube. I didn't even know how to use YouTube. Most of the people my age didn't know. So my younger son.
I love that story.
And his friends would come up with like, why aren't you using, you know, the porn, you have porn stars. Why aren't you using their pictures in the thumbnails?
Now, but from the word go, Cam, you're growing up in this house with your mom and for a while with your dad.
Yeah.
What is the temperature around sexuality?
That's such a good question. I don't think we've ever
really
been asked that
question.
Ever. In all the interviews, I don't think anybody's ever asked us this.
I think I was ashamed of it still, even despite having a very open mother. My father was very macho.
He's like, from Argentina.
I would not be able, like, the people I was closest with in high school, like, the closest thing to a girlfriend I had, I still would not want to introduce her to my father because I would be like, he's going to make fun of me or, like, tease me for this. And so I kind of just, you know, didn't embrace it.
When was the first time you talked to him about sex?
Well, we talked early on. I mean, he's 5 years old. He's playing with himself while I'm watching a soap opera. Okay. So I'm like, son, he goes, my penis hurts. Because we did use these technical terms because of my father, who's a doctor.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think I was pretty open with him, though, about it. I've never made him feel like, if anything, I was like, why don't you try sex?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so there was an actual discussion, like, why don't you try sex?
Especially in college. Yet. In college, she was like, you should go out and have as much, you should fuck as much as possible.
Yeah, you know, my theory is, you know, you don't go and buy a car without trying out a lot of different models first.
And you don't have anyone repair your car who hasn't been under the hood hundreds of times.
I love that. Right? High five.
High five on that.
They're high-fiving right now. That is hilarious.
Very good.
Yes.
Repair job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just saying. So did you have also a kind of one big talk? People talk about this all the time, which I think is a problematic construct. I feel like it has to be an ongoing dialogue.
It was totally ongoing.
My theory is when you get asked the question, you go ahead. And if you're not getting asked the questions, even, you know, you can lead them a horse to water. But, you know, I think everyone is going to ask a parent question when they feel comfortable already. And
right.
I, of course, 100% would jump on, let's talk.
Yeah.
Now, okay. You
so
ask
she
the
was
questions.
Like eager, maybe more eager than you to talk
totally.
About it.
Totally. I mean, it's created a role reversal. You know, sometimes people like start fucking early because they know their parents don't want them to do that.
Right.
And it's an act of rebellion.
Right.
For me, my rebellion is like, I'm going to choose to be in a relationship with this person.
Damn, he's rebelling again.
And you're like, I told him to fuck as many people as he could.
He doesn't listen to
what
me.
What is this girlfriend nonsense? What is this monogamy bullshit?
This is exactly what I just told my younger son. He's got a girlfriend. I'm like, just don't marry her, please. Just get
seriously
just get experience going.
Goes, I like I, this role model, though. This is better, than,
is better than
the pressure to conform. Here's the thing. All of your kids already have all these pressures
yeah.
from society.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
already see monogamy and marriage and the white picket fence as the goal. It's all around us in all media. So it's nice to have a different perspective saying, hey, you could also maybe try this.
Yeah. It is confusing, though, as a guy. Growing up, I was like, why do I want to have a relationship? Does that, am I gay? Do I, you know, does this,
oh.
like, what is so wrong about me? Like, I don't have this burning desire like all my other friends do.
To just fuck.
To just yeah. fuck.
He's not,
or at least
he's not a fuck boy.
I did have the desire to fuck, but not but it was never superseded my feelings of like, wait, this is a human with feelings who, you know, this, there's okay. risk associated
he's
with
too
this.
Nice.
No, he has a different kind of masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way,
oh,
we
that's
need more,
interesting.
You just have a different kind of masculinity.
I just thought it was more femininity.
No, you know? I would say that you have a specific kind of masculinity that's different and that isn't, quite frankly, as toxic. Because I think toxic masculinity promotes that women are sex objects
yeah.
and they are there for your gratification and for your pleasure.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've approached it in a different way. That's all.
Yeah. It feels very isolating.
It does?
Very, oh, yeah.
Still to this day?
I eventually started choosing friends who were more like-minded.
You still have some bro-y friends.
Totally. Yeah,
that
yeah.
are just like all they want to do, like the human fountains, all they want to do is get laid.
Oh, she, yeah. Hey, you don't need to mention this. You don't.
Well, she didn't say any names.
Okay, but that's like, that is a group of people that like people will be able to see, but whatever.
Also, you said fountains, which brings me to something that I cannot let go of.
Thank
and
you.
Must discuss
we
on
must.
The air
we have to discuss.
Right now.
I agree.
Which is the Cam is actually a worldwide celebrity.
Yes.
Not for his podcast.
No, God
you said
forbid.
Fountain. You said Fountain. Not for his podcast, but because he was on the last season of America's Got Talent. He made it all the way to the finals because I think as a wild card.
The quarterfinals, yeah.
Yeah. And basically, your act was a group of four men spitting to music and creating a sort of a fountain-like experience, but out of your mouth, and also spitting in each other's mouth.
That's the
Can we
part.
Talk about the homoeroticism of that?
Yeah, the homoeroticism was the...
If you said that to these bro-y boys, they would not like this.
Well, guess what? Men who spit in each other's mouths are most often having sex. They're spitting cum in each other's mouths, and they're just spitting, period.
And you know what? We interviewed Dirty Lola.
Oh, Dirty Lola, I love
her. And she was horrified about the germ aspect. She said
I was also horrified.
And on top of it, Cam is a germaphobe.
I have my germaphobic tendencies, so I totally get that. But you let people spit in your mouth. I assume you had to practice this shit.
Oh, I was getting so sick every time.
Okay, what's the name of the thing called?
Human fountains.
Human fountains. And you made it pretty far.
America's Got Talent.
Yeah. And then you've done this act all over the world.
Yes. I've since left the group.
You've left the group.
Right.
Wow. Okay. I want the behind the music on that one.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, basically.
The traumatic breakup. It's like, it was just like Fleetwood Mac. Everyone slept with everyone and everyone was mad at everyone. And there were these horrible breakups.
Kind of
and
thing.
No one's speaking to each other. And there's all these NDAs. I mean, in my mind,
yeah.
that's what happened. But we don't have to actually talk about it.
I mean, it was too far
accurate.
From the truth. I mean, truthfully, I had to, it came down to, am I going to choose to go down the sex talk with my mom path?
Yeah.
Or am I going to choose to spit in the other men's mouth path? and I chose sex talk with my mom. It was making me less sick.
Staff infection. And
I literally got a staff infection.
You got a staff infection?
While I was on the show, the day they were shooting, I had like a huge.
Were you having the like shots in your butt kind of thing?
Not that bad.
No.
It was pretty gross.
It was just antibiotics.
Oh my God. Disgusting. Not,
yeah. It was fucking nasty. They're like doing close-ups on me because I had this egg in my mouth I'm taking
it's
out.
So
and I'm like, there's like a huge staph infection.
I found it very hard to be a supportive mother to this.
You did.
I did. I was
That's close. Very funny. So you would support your son going and fucking around as much as he wants.
Yes.
But you're like, you're doing this weird human fountain spitting act on America's Got Talent in front of millions of people. Yeah. And I don't know if I can get behind that, Cam. I can't,
especially the germ part. It is gross.
Can we actually go into this direction? Because you know so much about this.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we talk about, because I am this germaphobe. So part of the reason why I don't fuck all the time is because I'm a little nervous about getting diseases.
Yes. No,
like
I know
this.
Someone like this. And I also dated someone like this.
So what do we do about this?
Who's like safer sex practices I felt like were different than mine and we're sort of hyper vigilant.
It's crazy.
And the thing is, I sat down with them and I was like, so I feel like I've seen the research. I know how you get STDs. Some of this is really extreme.
Yes.
And they were like, nope.
Please help me because
I think you're pretty cool about everything but herpes. That's the only one.
Okay, let's talk about herpes.
Here's
let's
what she's saying.
Let's talk about herpes.
Because basically, I use a condom all the time.
Right.
So
what about for oral sex?
And then I don't really want to do oral sex for all these reasons.
What about oral sex with a condom?
I guess that's fine, but still, if I'm going down on them, who's using dental dams?
I mean, 5 people or so are using dental dams. And I've used dental dams. I use plastic wrap more often than dental dams.
Because it's easier and more convenient.
And you can cut more coverage and hands-free. You just wrap the person basically in a saran wrap panty and then you go down them. So you don't need to hold anything.
Okay, but Tristan, you're a sex educator. You people who hook up with you are like, they know that you have these awesome practices.
Yeah, Cam's not going to walk around with cling free.
Yes. Could you imagine? I'm with this
hold
girl.
Hold on 1 second. I got to get
let
my
me get
cling.
A dental dam.
I got to get my aluminum foil out
get
of
my
the
fucking cling wrap and give you some new panties. They're not going to like
that. By the way,
that.
Are you wrapping the clit?
I'm wrapping everything. Here's the other thing about herpes is that a condom doesn't necessarily protect
right,
you against
exactly.
herpes.
I know.
Because it's a skin thing and it can be on the skin that's not covered by...
So that's why she says
by,
I'm worried that's about
why
it.
That's why... That would be my... If I'm single right now, that's my concern.
Wait, here's the thing, Cam. We got to get sort of straight on herpes.
Please.
Okay? Herpes... So many people have herpes.
I know.
It's like so many people have herpes. So many people have oral herpes. So many people have genital herpes. It's actually not life-crushing news
totally.
To have herpes. I've slept with people who have herpes, thus the panty, mm-hmm. right? You know what I mean? This is not life-ending information. Like, this is not a life-ending infection. You take your meds. Everyone's on these meds. It suppresses the virus. You stop having outbreaks. You can't transmit it. You can't be a shedder when you're on these good meds. Mm-hmm. I think the reframe here is not, oh, you won't get herpes. I don't want to reframe it like that because that's unrealistic.
Right.
The reframe is, so you get herpes.
It's like chickenpox. Just expose them to chickenpox and get
this
it over
is how
with.
I
yeah,
feel.
Yeah, kind of.
Because
yeah.
I have this podcast, all of these people come to me and say, I have herpes. What do I do?
Yeah.
And I tell them exactly what you
and
just discussed.
And there's still a tremendous stigma. So I'm not saying like where you are is not where a lot of people are. I mean, I think there's stigma around just other STDs like chlamydia, where you literally take antibiotics and it's done.
Yes.
You don't have it ever again or
right.
you
right.
get it again. But like people are stigmatized these sexually transmitted infections when, for example, you got a staph infection, which is much more serious and can be antibiotic resistant.
Yeah.
And to me is like, more intense than the herpes virus.
These two were so great and fun that we actually continued our conversation over lunch after the show. But don't worry, the best stuff is in the episode. Listen for yourself. Nowadays, we all need a break from the stress and the chaos. It's nice to experience joy, dive into love, and escape the everyday, even for just a little while. If you love love stories, romance novels, and erotica, then you need to try Audible Escape. It's a new monthly subscription that provides unlimited listening to romance books, plus Audible Originals, stories you can't get anywhere else. Whether you're already hooked on reading romance novels, you love watching rom-coms, or you're looking for audio content that sweeps you off your feet, you're going to get access to over 18,000 romance titles. There are favorite authors of mine like Susie Bright, Rachel Kramer Bussell, Zane, Heather Novak, Allison Tyler, and Rose Caraway, who's both an editor and an amazing narrator. There is queer romance, African-American romance, erotic romance, even books like Speaking Sex to Power, The Politics of Queer Sex by Patrick Califia. And five of my books are on the service, including my erotica book, Stripped Down. Plus, who doesn't want to listen to a book called Thong on Fire? Join the community and try your first month for free. After that, it's $12.95 a month. If you are already an Audible or Kindle Unlimited member, it's just $6.95 a month. There's no commitment and you can cancel anytime. Download the app to explore all the love stories. Visit audible.com/Tristan to get started now. That's www.audible.com/Tristan.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I really do appreciate you listening to those commercials, since they are what keeps the lights on. Let's return to my conversation with Cameron and Karen Lee Potter of the podcast Sex Talk with My Mom.
Wait, so you would have sex with someone knowing they are a carrier of herpes?
I currently have sex. One of my partners, yes, has genital herpes.
So do you always use like the saran wrap or what do you use?
Yes. So this person is female bodied. And so I always use saran wrap with oral sex. I use gloves for penetration. But I also think she'll tell me when the last time she had an outbreak was. She has a partner who's not herpes positive, right? Who she's been with for quite some time. She'll tell me that she's on the meds and I know she's taking them regularly. So I don't feel like I'm putting myself at risk. Yeah. I don't. Would I like to have oral sex with her without a barrier? Yes. But we're not, at least now, we're not there yet.
Say I'm single.
Right.
And I don't want to get herpes. I just don't. Okay. And I'm with a guy and he says I have herpes. What do I do? Wrap his dick up in saran wrap?
Right. Okay. So I think it's fair to say, are you on the meds and do you take them regularly? When was the last time you had an outbreak? I would get the flashlight out and just inspect the area. Can you transmit herpes without symptoms? Yes. But the first thing to do is look at everyone's genitals and make sure we're good. And in that case, I would probably use condoms for oral sex too.
You mean on a female? Right.
On a man.
I mean, I'm just trying to get the whole lay of the land here.
I would put a condom on his dick if I was going to suck his dick.
Yeah.
So when it's not 100%.
When I was single, I used to do that anyway.
Yeah. But Cam, I want your way in.
Because you're saying like, I'm only scared of herpes. This is not the case. I'm
scared
of fucking
everything.
Everything. Okay. So sorry.
That's what a true germaphobe should say.
I'm so scared of everything. I'm so sorry,
because,
Cam.
No, because it makes me sound like I'm encouraging the stigma against herpes, which I'm not. I'm not judging that any worse than... A lot of these other diseases are actually much more fatal, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. So my major question is, if they have... So we're having the safe sex talk. I'm like, were you tested recently?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, recently. And I was like...
Let's intervene first.
Uh-huh.
When you go get your sort of free test at the public health clinic, they do not test you for herpes.
Correct.
That's right.
You have to actually request a herpes test from your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And your doctor has to be willing to put some code on there that says possible exposure to herpes, to justify the herpes test so that your insurance will cover it.
I know
because I get tested for herpes regularly as part of my STI panel, and I can't get it done where I get all my other STIs done.
Totally.
So, and also I thought it has to do with it's a much more extensive test.
It's not much more extensive, but there's a lot of false positives and there's a lot of false negatives with herpes.
Yeah.
So it's confusing.
Exactly.
It's not like an HIV test, which is definitive.
Right. So, but before even that.
So you're talking about, you're having the safe sex talk.
So we're having the safe sex talk. They say, yeah, I was tested. And I was like, okay, have you had any partners since? Yes. One partner. Okay. Well, are we back to square one where yes. you have to get tested again?
Yes.
Because who knows who the fuck that guy was just fucking.
Right.
You know?
And yes. No, all of this is real, Cam. And yeah. you are allowed to set your own boundaries wherein you are like, I want to be sexual with you. You were tested and then you have partners since. Let's go get tested together. Let's wait until those tests come back. Mm-hmm. And then we can be sexual. That is, you have a right to set those boundaries.
I love that. I think that
you do.
But what do you recommend? Because I will just let my anxious mind run.
She's recommending that, right?
What? No, I what?
I'm
what?
Are you recommending that he?
What? Yeah.
I don't recommend any sort of rumination or anxiety. First of all, it generally causes suffering.
Yes, thank you.
As someone who also has some anxiety, no, I'm recommending that you have this sort of protocol, right? Which is, I'm Cam. When I want to be sexual with someone, I want to go get a current test, and I will also be tested.
Mm-hmm. And the first date.
Not on the first.
I'm just kidding.
Not on the first date, but it sounds like you're not a fuck on the first date person.
Not a fuck on the first
yeah,
date.
Yeah, so this fits perfect. Into the framework. Yeah. Like, I am a fuck on the, I don't even need to know your name.
I kind of want to live like that, though.
Well, no. Let's not have a whole,
yeah.
I mean, that's like a makeover show that we have to do. And that's not this show.
Oh, stay tuned. That's not this show. Sex Talk with My Mom does a whole makeover. Right?
That's a makeover. But what I'm saying is, if you're someone who doesn't have casual sex, anonymous sex, semi-anonymous sex, whatever people want to call it. If you're not someone who even does that to begin with, then it makes sense for you to say, I don't have sex on the first date. I want to get to know someone. Maybe you're demisexual. You know what demisexual
yeah,
is?
Yeah, yeah. Went through that.
And so I think this fits into your overall framework,
totally.
Which is like, you're not a jump in.
I would like to jump in.
Oh, you'd like to jump in.
Yes, but this prevents me from jumping in.
I think then if you want to jump in, you just have to become this safer sex crusader.
Wow. But you don't give a shit that much?
Here's the thing. I'm a different person because my reputation sort of precedes me, right? And so it's like the minute I'm even remotely interested in having sex with you, like we're going to have the sit down, we're going to have a talk, and I've got my test results and I've got my safer sex materials. So yeah. But what I want to say is I've never, ever, ever experienced someone going, oh, I don't want to do it then.
Yeah, right. No one's going
to
reject
you. No one's been like, oh, I wanted you to suck my dick, but now that you want to use a condom, I'm not into it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's never happened to me.
That's happened to me, though.
It has.
And a guy wants to go on anal. Yeah. After he couldn't get hard with a condom. And I said, you can't do this.
No, that is a real thing. When there's just certain dicks don't work with condoms, right? Or it like really desensitizes them to the point where they have erection problems.
But meanwhile, he wanted to go on anal because he said, oh, you're virgin anally. I can do that. And I'm like, no.
Are you a virgin anally?
No, but this at the time, I happened to be.
Oh, at the time you were.
The disdain.
Yeah, what the fuck?
That was not disdain. Was that judgy?
It was a shocker.
Was that judgy?
You're like, you're a virgin.
I meant to make that neutral.
It was neutral.
Was that not neutral in my voice?
Yeah. Well, we know you're the anal authority.
I know. So we have to talk about that.
And I am really wondering, like, your first anal experience, was it a great one?
It was.
See, I think the same thing with virginity. If your first virginity, losing your virginity is a great one, you're going to want to be doing more sex. And if you first anal experience is a great one.
I got to say, though, my first sexual experience with intercourse was painful and I didn't have an orgasm, but I stuck around to say, I think this might get better. Let me keep giving
You're
it.
You're an enigma there.
Let's keep giving it a try. But I will say that my first sexual experience was in the context of absolute consent, no pressure, no coercion, no drugs or alcohol. So it was a very positive
That's great.
Experience. But your anal experience.
Yes. Okay. So my anal experience was with my very first serious girlfriend who I did a lot of first things with. So I am a sophomore in college. She is a senior. She is much more experienced than I am. I mean, not much more. I'm making her sound like she's like running about town and she probably wouldn't appreciate that. I'm just saying she's more experienced than I am, right? I haven't slept with that many women when I get to her. I've slept with a handful of women. That was a joke. and so my first experience is we're just doing a lot of, we're trying new things every day. We're trying bondage. We're trying role play. We're trying blindfolds. We're trying strap-on sex. You know, all the things, right? So one day it's like, hey, you want to try anal? And I was like, sure. Because that's just the vibe of the relationship. She kind of put it all out there. No judgment. Everything's equal. What do you want to do today? So my first experience was with fingers. And I know some people's first experience is a dick in the ass. Hurts like hell. Yeah. No warm up. No. No lube. Horrible. Yeah. I want to acknowledge that's her first experience. My first experience is like lube, cunnilingus, feeling really good, really into the person, a finger, and then a second finger. Feels amazing.
Wow.
That was my first experience.
Yeah.
And then you just sort of build from there, right? And so now I've had all sorts of things in my ass. I've had dildos in my ass, and I've had...
Wait, I'm thinking vegetables.
Penises. Right? No. I've had dildos in my ass, penises in my ass, you know, big butt plugs in my ass, all the things. I've been anally fisted. I've had a whole hand in my ass.
I can't imagine it. I really can't.
It's intense.
I've done a lot of stuff, actually. Yeah. But no fist.
Yeah.
Maybe two fingers.
If you're taking a dick, you're on your way to a hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen my hands? They're very small.
No, that's still, oh my goodness.
Very small.
So at this point, do you ever experience pain with anal?
No. Well, there's times when your butt is like a little fussy. I'm going to call it...
My butt is fussy all the goddamn time.
Okay. So I'm going to say like you're there are times when it's like, oh, 3 days ago I had anal sex and it was amazing and really pleasurable. And then today my butt just feels... more sensitive. It's not in the mood. Yeah, there's times where I've stopped anal sex because I'm like, oh, it's not working and it's not gonna get better. So I just stop. The truth is, like, everyone's got to consent to everything, right? And consent is an ongoing dynamic process. But around this subject, the stories I hear about people pressuring people to have anal sex, people saying no first and then someone being like, maybe I can wear them down. And this is definitely a dynamic between cis men and cis women in the context of these heterosexual relationships. It's total crap. You either want to have it and you're game. You might be a little nervous. Nervous is okay. Nervous the first time is fine. But totally resigned because your partner's been pressuring you and
bad,
you're like, oh,
bad,
God,
bad. No, bad. Bad.
So consent. And I would also say, consent does not happen when everyone's had four shots of tequila.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's my other thing.
Unless you're me. I'm just kidding.
You might have a different tolerance, but I'm going to say also consent that's pretty clear-headed.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to police anyone smoking a joint, but I am going to police you if you're wasted for consent. Okay. Think about what your approach to hygiene is going to be.
Oh,
okay, like,
huge.
So people have this, the number one question I get asked, isn't it going to be messy? Isn't it going to be dirty?
Isn't it going to be shit everywhere?
Oh my God, there's going to be shit on my dick, shit on my hands, shit on my face, whatever. Okay, so you got to kind of make these decisions for yourself about what your hygiene is going to be. I mean, there's the simplest thing is like, you have to listen to your body. You have to know your body. You have to, having like a bowel movement before anal sex is a great idea.
Oh,
that'll
wow.
sort of like clear the runway.
Test.
You could have a finger test, put your finger up there and see what the hell's going on.
I've had this happen to me where my partner said to me, I feel a little
something.
A little something there. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't be doing this.
Well, that's the other thing is no guarantees. You're playing with someone's butt. You may run into poop.
Yeah.
Calm yourself down about it. But you can also do a little douche beforehand. You could have an enema beforehand. Like I have a whole chapter in my book on all the ways you can clean your butt. I think the thing about douching and having an enema is not only does it clean out your ass, it has this practical purpose, right? For some people, and I'm feeling this for Cam big time, for some people, it gives them extra confidence.
Yeah.
It actually lowers their anxiety because if they're anxious about like one or two things about anal and one of them is the mess.
Get rid of that.
They had their anal douche or their anal enema and they're like, okay, I can let that go now.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I know my
yeah.
butt's clean.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not just a cleaning thing. It's also a can this just
relaxed,
help me feel? I'm relaxed. I'm less anxious. I'm less nervous, which is a better situation going all the time. Yeah.
My problem is more of like afterwards, you're going to be farting and you're just like, you
know. I like to say no white silk pants without underwear. That's my only rule.
You don't know what's going to come out.
It's just that because you've stuck a bunch of lube up there. And so the first poop that's going to come out is going to be runny because it's going to mix with some of that lube.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Okay.
That's all.
It's break time again, but there is more to come when we get back. So stay with us. Are you ready to fall in lust this September? Every fall, the Pleasure Chest focuses on their inclusive and accessible pleasure education program. Pump up your pleasure IQ with a free workshop at one of the Pleasure Chest's 5 locations in LA, New York, and Chicago. All workshops are open to adults 18 and over of all genders, sexual orientations, and relationship statuses. Follow at Pleasure Chest Stores on Instagram or check their full fall winter lineup of free workshops at pleasurechest.com/events. Plus, to celebrate their 48th year in business, they'll be featuring a few of their favorite classic toys and those that continue to inspire a long legacy of pleasure. They'll be sharing those toys and pleasure tips on their blog and Instagram all month long. Go to pleasurechest.com, use coupon code Tristan for a free massage candle, and don't forget to follow them on Instagram at Pleasure Chest Stores.
Hey, Dylan, guess what?
What's that, Ginger?
I'd love for you to come with me on this amazingly sex-positive, queer, and polyam-friendly, kink-aware, all-inclusive resort vacation in paradise.
Oh, really? This trip sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Ginger A. Bentham stamp of approval?
It has the sexiest name. It's called The Swing Set Takes Desire. It takes place in Cancun, Mexico at Desire Riviera Maya, November 2nd through 9th, 2019. This trip to paradise is co-hosted by Javian Shara from Ending the Sexual Dark Age, Bradford and Angela from the By the By podcast, and special guest Tristan Taramino, author, podcaster, and creator of excellent ethically produced porn. And you can find more information at swingsetdesire.com.
Oh, Ginger.
What?
Get with the times. Everybody knows about swingsetdesire.com. In fact, Life on the Swingset is hosting its 8th annual trip to paradise. Drop your information in the form at swingsetdesire.com and boom, hot tub happy hour.
No way. I can go there and come there too. There's this super hot harness I've been dying to use.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to swingsetdesire.com and book your trip to join us for the Swing Set Takes Desire, November 2nd through the 9th, 2019.
All right, Dylan, I'm on it. Swingsetdesire.com.
You'll be glad you came.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I got to hang out with Cameron Poder and Karen Lee Poder of the podcast Sex Talk with My Mom. They are part of my pleasure podcast family, and we should just get right into it. I know you want to hear more.
Spit is not a lubricant.
I agree.
Why did that become a thing?
Well,
because of porn.
I mean, not just porn, because they use lube in porn. You just don't see it.
No, but I'm saying they you always show them porn. Spitting.
Yeah. No, it's like, here's the thing. We've all spit to revive a little bit of wetness, and it can work with vaginal sex.
Not anal.
But it can never work with anal because there's no self-lubrication. See, the thing with the vagina is it's a self-lubricating thing.
Yeah.
The ass is not self-lubricating. You 100% need lube. And no desensitizing lubes. No lubes that are like anal ease. Nothing that can numb your ass. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just regular water-based or silicone-based or hybrid lube.
Sometimes, you know, we were sponsored by Hashtag Lube Life. They have this anal lube.
Yeah.
But it's just like very high-quality silicone thick lube.
So the thickness is a thing.
Yeah.
Actually, Lube Life is one of the only ones who has a thick silicone.
Mm.
Most silicone lubes are known for their slickness, for their friction.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you don't want that much friction in your ass.
Oh, interesting.
So a thick lube actually lessens the friction.
I better go throw out the back door.
It's a little bit of like cushioning.
For the monogamous couple, it seems like there's a lot to learn in terms of how to keep that relationship hot and sexy all the time, because you tend to get into a rhythm. And we find, well, this works for me, so why should I change it up? But if you change it up, you know it's going to probably end up being better. So, I mean, that's where I'm still, you know, trying to learn a little bit more, how to keep things spicy when you're in a monogamous relationship.
I mean, I think it's $1 billion question.
It's $1 billion.
Like, let's be real, that there are books being written, articles, websites, workshops, retreats, and I would say some products that are trying to do just that, right? It's like sex in the context of monogamy. What does that look like? What does it look like? What does it feel like? How do we keep it going when inevitably you develop patterns? Inevitably, you get a little bit lazy. I do, for sure. But I get lazy all the time. I mean, I arrive to like every one of my dates now and being like, I shaved my pussy like 2 weeks ago. So. I'm like, the older I get, the more I'm just like, you want to fuck me or you don't want to fuck me. But like, I didn't go all out.
Yeah. I didn't even take a shower.
I took a shower, but I didn't go all out.
Okay.
Okay.
Actually, mine kind of piggybacks off of this. So when talking to people over the past 4 years, it seems that the way to keep it alive is by making sex an act of play and making it into a mental game as opposed to just a physical game. And I think play can really help that.
Right.
So personally, I need a lot more experience. Sex right now is such a still like, it is so unfamiliar to me. It's not something I come easily play around with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping that more experience will allow me to enter more of a state of play with it, be more casual about it, you know, experience it with more people, as opposed to, no, I need to, you know, I need to know exactly where I stand with this person. I need to know what the sex means to them. I need to make sure that we're all safe. I would like to get to a place where it's just much more, it's easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, on the one hand, I feel like I just want to have sex with you, because here's something that I learned.
Wait, you want to have sex with Cam?
Yeah. Just to work through some of these issues.
You are our first guest who actually came right out and said that on the podcast.
We had someone say they wanted to kiss me.
Here's why.
Never
I've gone all the
actual
way. Here's
sex.
Why. So one
it's
of the
an
things,
act of charity is what you're saying.
No, it's not charity. It's not charity. It would be fun. So one of the things that my very first serious girlfriend kind of taught me, which when I look back on was so important, is, you know, I said she was non-judgmental. I said she was like up for anything, right? But she modeled this kind of freedom for me. Like for her, sex was fun. Sex was different. Sex was not shameful, right? And to have someone else model that for you, you can begin to mirror it, right?
So you want to model this for Cam.
So I
want to
model the sort of freedom. Anything goes. Let's try this. Oh, you don't like this? Great. Let's just stop doing that. You know what I mean? Model a kind of freedom, because I feel like those lovers we have who give us that, they give us permission until we're ready to give ourselves permission.
Oh, heavy. I like it.
Yeah.
She's staring at me.
I appreciate that thought. And it's still, even you saying that is like, oh my God, but I'm still not even there yet. Like,
I agree that playfulness is the key to sex, I think, in that we don't have a lot of arenas as adults in our lives to be playful, right? And to do playful things, where once you're an adult, it's considered that you should like behave in this particular way and dress in this particular way and not devote time to these like silly, funny, you know,
and
non-crucial
the only time
things.
You could really do it is in the bedroom.
Yeah. And so that feeling, I think you're on the right track is what I'm saying.
I think I need to take you up on this idea.
Wait. Oh.
I think we'll talk about this afterwards. We'll
Cam,
talk about
Cam just
you
said,
relax,
Cam,
mother.
I just heard it.
Just relax, okay?
I know. I've never actually
he
propositioned
just,
someone in front of their
and
mom.
He just,
I just realized that. I've done a lot of things.
And he just said he's
never
open.
Propositioned someone in front of their mom.
He just said he's open to it.
I'm open to it.
Maybe if we get like 100 patrons, they'll do it, okay?
Oh, my God. There is really no other way to end this episode because...
Other than I leave the room and you guys go at it. Okay, I've got two dogs here they can watch.
No dogs allowed.
No dogs allowed.
I just have very clear boundaries.
I'll go take the dogs for a walk.
Great
mother,
idea.
Stop.
10 minutes later, it'll all be done.
I have boundaries, mother. I don't fuck when you're aware and knowing.
By the way, this is not the first time this has happened. We just realized this.
What do you mean?
Nina Hartley came on the show and really wanted to educate
mentor,
me as well.
Mentor Cam.
Yeah.
He has that like that little student pupil, curious, wide-eyed look to him when he's around sex educators.
I'm into that.
Good.
That sort of initiation.
Yeah.
Teaching.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He's younger.
It's
like a particular,
it's a whole cougar
it's a particular
thing.
Role play. Yeah.
That's what I like about cougars, by the way.
Is the, oh, I love a cougar dynamic because I love the idea that you're sort of schooling a young guy who's like completely open to tell me how you like it, tell me how to do it. He doesn't have the sort of baggage of someone who's your peer, who's like, I know how to do this. Yeah. You don't need to tell me. And who's like deeply insecure, but doesn't want directions.
They are so freaking grateful.
Yeah.
Will you, I'm going to have you write an intro or something to my book.
Okay.
It's going to be called Buck Games Data Cougar.
Data Cougar.
I want to thank Karen Lee Potter and Cameron Potter for being on my show. You can listen to their podcast and find out more at sextalkwithmymom.com and sextalkwithmymom on social media. Karen is at Karen Lee Potter and Cam is at Single Cam Comedy on social media. I am Tristan Taramino across all platforms. You can check out my Patreon, patreon.com/TristanTaramino. Join us next week, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. Until then, take time to talk about sex, maybe even with your mom, out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.